You may be seated. Our third case this morning is 2021-443, the Disciplinary Council versus Stephen Edward Hillman. I understand Mr. Hillman is not with us this morning. Mr. Hillman? All right. I will have the relator proceed. Ms. Schmidt?
May it please the court, Chief Justice O'Connor, and other distinguished justices. My name is Kelly Schmidt, and I represent the Office of Disciplinary Counsel in this matter. Today, relator asks this court to overrule respondents' objections and impose the board's recommended sanction of a two-year state suspension for two reasons. First, the record in this case supports the board's finding of fact, and second, because the board recommended the proper sanction in this matter. Turning to my first point, the record in this case supports the board's finding of fact. The respondent has been previously sanctioned on three occasions for failing to comply with deadlines, twice for failing to timely register, and once for failing to timely file his tax returns. The difference is, in this case, he has caused harm to an actual client. The crux of this case occurred over the course of approximately 8.5 months. For it was during that time that Allstate filed three formal discovery requests. The respondent took over 70 days to respond to each of those requests, and that caused Allstate to file two separate motions to compel. The respondent again replied to neither, which ultimately led Allstate to file a motion for sanctions. Again, approximately 20 days went by, and the court dismissed Mr. Watkins' case, and the respondent still did not file a response to that motion until after the case had already been dismissed. And what's worse is that Mr. Watkins did not know what was happening with his case. He testified that he trusted his attorney. He believed his attorney was, beyond his attorney, his friend. And so when the respondent was telling Mr. Watkins that everything with his case was going fine, Mr. Watkins believed him. The board found that Mr. Watkins was a vulnerable client. He was receiving SSI as his sole source of income, and his house had recently burned to the ground, and he lost all of his possessions. And so any delay caused by the respondent's misconduct was harmful to Mr. Watkins. Prior to the case being dismissed, there is no letter, no email, no text message, or anything to suggest that the respondent advised Mr. Watkins of the status of his case. And after the case was dismissed, there are two important pieces of evidence that suggest that Mr. Watkins was totally unaware. The first can be found in Relator's Exhibit 82, which consists of text messages from the respondent to Mr. Watkins. There is a text message sent on October 4th, which was 2 days after the trial court dismissed Mr. Watkins' case. And that was when the respondent told Mr. Watkins that his case had been dismissed and he was planning to appeal. Now, Mr. Watkins testified about his reaction to this text message. When he received it, he repeatedly called the respondent to ask why his case had been dismissed, as he had no idea. The respondent, of course, did not answer those phone calls, causing Mr. Watkins to drive himself down to the courthouse to determine exactly what had happened. The second important piece of evidence is in Relator's Exhibit 69. And if you turn to page 24 of that exhibit, in the upper right-hand corner, you will see that this is an envelope, and the date of sale is October 5th of 2019. The reason that that date is important is because it is 3 days after the case was dismissed. And this is an envelope that the respondent sent to Mr. Watkins. Contained inside were certain discovery requests and other pieces of evidence that Mr. Watkins did not see prior to the court dismissing his case. And so those two pieces of evidence show exactly how unaware he was. Turning to my second point, the board recommended the proper sanction in this matter for two reasons. First, this court's precedent supports the recommended sanction. And second, the respondent's written brief to this court demonstrates that he still does not accept responsibility for his misconduct. In Dayton Bar Association versus Scotia, the respondent in that matter had received formal discovery requests from opposing counsel. He ignored them, much like the respondent in this matter, and opposing counsel was forced to file a motion to compel. Again, the respondent in that matter, much like Mr. Hillman, ignored the motion to compel, and the court ordered him to provide responses. Similar to the respondent in this matter, Mr. Scascia attempted to provide discovery responses, but the trial court deemed them to be incomplete and ultimately also dismissed that client's case with prejudice.
Counsel, in the case that you're using to show that the two-year state suspension is appropriate, was it his fourth time that he had been sanctioned?
That is accurate, Your Honor. Mr. Scascia had received prior discipline. The reason that we believe a two-year state suspension in this matter is appropriate is because Mr. Scascia had previous discipline that affected clients, including IOLTA violations. In this matter, Mr. Hillman's prior misconduct did not affect clients and was regulatory sanctions.
Counsel, in that prior case, the order was that he, quote, not engage in no further misconduct, close quote. And that was set forth in 2016. All these events occurred in 2017, 2018, and 2019, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So he did commit further misconduct?
Multiple instances, yes. In addition, the respondent's written brief to this court suggests that he still does not acknowledge his misconduct. Now, the board declined to find that as an aggravating factor and relator did not submit an objection to that finding. However, the board did not have the benefit of seeing the respondent's written brief to this court. The first thing that respondent claims is that he should have assumed that Mr. Watkins would become an adversary in search of financial gain. There's nothing in the record to support that claim, and in fact, the opposite is true, because Mr. Watkins hired the respondent on a contingent basis, and so there is not an issue of a fee dispute in this matter. But even worse is that after Mr. Watkins retained a new attorney, the respondent in this matter filed an entirely different lawsuit against Mr. Watkins, seeking recovery of his fee. And so in this case, the respondent actually became the adversary against Mr. Watkins. In addition, the respondent tries to blame Mr. Watkins for not returning certain discovery requests, but the record in this case also belies that claim. Because Mr. Watkins repeatedly testified that he did not know that certain discovery requests were filed, he was unaware that a motion for sanctions had been filed, and had he known this information, he would have hired a new attorney or asked the court for a continuance. Finally, the respondent claims that he was not sufficiently aware of what Allstate was seeking from him, and that's why he could not provide the discovery responses. But a review of the discovery request and the motion for sanctions in this matter will show that the discovery requests were clear. Allstate stated what they were looking for were answers to interrogatories, a signed IRS form, and other documents. Because the respondent in this case abused his client's trust, caused an unnecessary delay in this case, we ask this court to impose the board's recommended sanction of a two-year state suspension on condition that respondent commit no further misconduct and pay the cost of these proceedings. If this court has no additional questions, we would yield the remainder of our time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the matter under advisement and you'll be notified of our decision.